Good afternoon. Welcome once again to Line One, your health connection from Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard. I don't guess I have to tell everybody that healthcare has gotten more complex than it's ever been. Maybe you don't realize that chronic diseases are becoming the major healthcare problem and that cost, access, and quality care are increasingly being scrutinized, particularly in the United States. Nursing has been changing to adapt to these new healthcare challenges. In this program, we will be discussing the roles and opportunities for nurses in healthcare as we evolve the healthcare of our country. Our guests are Dr. Barbara Berner, who is director, and Dr. Maureen O'Malley, who is associate director of the University of Alaska at Anchorage School of Nursing. Also joining us as our third guest is Mark Daugherty. You know, I didn't ask you. Daugherty, is that the right way to pronounce that?
Doughty.
I apologize, Mark, who has just finished a family nurse practitioner program at UAA, and we'll hear more about that opportunity as the program persists or continues. You can reach us with questions or comments in Anchorage. Our number is 550-8433, 550-8433. We also have a toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752. And finally, during the next hour or so, you can reach us by email as well. That's at line1@alaskapublic.org. And just a usual reminder, you have to spell out line one, L-I-N-E-O-N-E. So welcome to each of you. It's a pleasure to have you join us today. And I want to say thanks at the beginning for taking the time.
Well, thank you.
I like to put some historical perspective on current developments and where things are going. So before we get into where nursing is today and where we see it going, could one of you, and I think, Barbara, you kind of volunteered before the program, tell us a little bit about the history of nursing.
There's been a very long history of nursing. It hasn't always been terribly organized, but there are pieces of history of people doing nursing-type activities since Christianity. But things didn't get really very organized until about the 1850s, when most of you have probably heard of Florence Nightingale, who came out into some very active engagement in what we now call nursing during the Crimean War in the 1850s. And she had a very strong desire to help people in lots of different ways, not just physically, but socially. And she was very much involved with helping soldiers who had been injured during the Crimean War, and actually changed how people were cared for, and organized a bunch, mostly women, to help with those kinds of activities, and developed plans for hygiene and clean sheets and food and those kinds of things that people were in need of and they clearly weren't getting. And this, again, translated to additional activities. And she actually started what would be the remnants of an educational program in nursing, and kept that going. And that's kind of how things started. We've come a long way since then, but I think that we still, within our roots, have a very clear mission of caring and advocacy and working with people to improve things, not just related to disease, but also prevention. And so we have a very strong history of this type of avocation that clearly continues now, even though how we do it differs. The philosophy is still there.
All right. Maureen, or Mark, or Barbara, either one of you, the next thing I'd like to do is just get your own personal views of how medicine, healthcare is probably a better way to term to use, how healthcare has changed, let's say, in the last 25 or 30 years, which continues on this theme of understanding where we've been before we talk about why we're where we are and where we're going.
Well, I'll go ahead and take a stab at that. I've worked predominantly as a nurse in an inpatient setting in hospitals. And the patients that we see in the hospitals have really changed over the years. Typically, we would have some patients who would would be able to get up and walk around and go to the lounge, and we kept them in the hospital longer. And lately what's happened is that patients are in the hospital for such short periods of times. We also see patients coming in repeatedly for, say, consequences of their behaviors and their home environments, their behaviors, their habits that are causing problems with their health conditions. And the patients are just very sick. The acuity of care, the students are oftentimes surprised when they see all the equipment and all the multiple lines that the patients are on and all the responsibilities that the nurse has to take care of someone who has an operation. You might get a whole page full of orders in terms of different pain medications for different circumstances, and they really have a lot of decisions to make how to manage that regimen, given that we have all these different protocols and that we have to manage to. So the patients are different. They're so much sicker. They're in the hospital for a very short period of time. So where when I started, someone who would have, say, a gallbladder operation would be in the hospital for 5 days a week. And today they'll have that surgery in a day. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the preoperative care, the care that happens in the hospital, the teaching for them to take care of themselves at home, when you think about the amount of time for all that care to be to happen in that one-day hospitalization, that's been a real challenge for us, particularly those of us that have been around a long time, and we look at care that way. We look at the pre-op care, the midterm care, and then the post-op care, and to try to make. And then another big thing is then where patients are going and what's their environment like where they're going and how therapeutic is that environment. So I think that in terms of my view as an inpatient nurse, it has just become so very complex and multidimensional. The patients are sicker and all those types of things.
And part of that complexity is that it's the chronic diseases and the consequences of the chronic diseases that is becoming more of a hospital-based issue, and all of the really acute things are either being handled, you know, outside of the hospital or very, very rapidly because of the developments in surgery. I understand what you're saying. And even in my lifetime, I know the C-sections were 5 or 6 days and the deliveries were 3. Now it's 3 days. I've had mothers go home sooner than that with a C-section, and it's hard to keep them overnight for deliveries. And so the time for helping them understand the process and what's going on and why things need to be done is very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that it is. That it is. And a real challenge for the nurses and the physicians to really try to manage that care. The care has become, we're fairly protocol-driven, and so that someone coming in for surgery, you're really moving towards getting up and ambulating that next morning and eating by. So we have milestones that we're trying to make to help shorten those hospitalizations. And there's some data behind it to show that outcomes are better, that people actually, and nurses had a hard time with this, understanding that patients actually would do better at home and being able to take care of these things themselves. But that does create a lot of challenges for nurses in terms of people going home with various tubes or wounds and knowing how to take care of them properly, because we also have a problem with complications post-discharge that we didn't used to see with the longer hospitalizations, because maybe people and families aren't really prepared for the kind of care they have to deliver at home.
Barbara, back to you for saying your background, as I read about it, was different. You're not necessarily a hospital nurse. You were a nurse practitioner.
Correct.
And then got into the administrative policy maybe making in.
Right.
And how do you see changes?
Over the past 50 years, nurse practitioners have evolved. And we basically celebrated our 50th anniversary this past summer. So nurse practitioners came to be as a needed entity in mostly pediatrics. It started out as pediatrics. And there was a need for healthcare prevention kinds of things, but also with some acute type processes. So the nursing profession has evolved into not just the bedside type of nursing, but also more nursing of primary care and advocacy. And that has even over the last 30 years evolved, particularly in Alaska. When I started practicing as a nurse practitioner in 1983, we were very limited in what we could do, but we are now, over the past 32 years now, doing all of the primary care that I think is appropriate for diagnosing and treating both acute and chronic conditions, and meeting a necessary need in the state just because of the need for primary care providers.
And Mark, you're just finishing up a family nurse practitioner training. So do you mind telling us a little bit about your background, and then I'm going to hit you with the same question. Did you, as somebody who's maybe just newer to this whole issue of nurse practitioners and nurses changes, how do you see healthcare having changed in the last 25 or 30 years?
Well, I began my career as a military medic. I was in the Air Force at the age of 17, and so my first exposure to nurses was to the military nurses, and they tended to be really good mentors, and worked really closely with them and some of the physicians. And in the Air Force hospitals, you're not limited by licensure like you are in the civilian population. So most of us medics who worked in intensive care units or directly with surgeons. I worked out of the flight surgeon's office. You get a lot of skills that you can't really utilize once you get out of the Air Force. So once I got out, I found myself qualified to be a nursing assistant, but with this background and skills that I wasn't able to use. And eventually that led me to take a psychiatric nursing assistant position at the state hospital here. And then I went back to nursing school and became a nurse.
What strikes me as different and somewhat unexpected is so many of the medics that came out of the Vietnam War and afterwards became physician's assistants rather than nurse practitioners. And I hadn't thought about bringing that issue up, but perhaps we ought to, since I have already. What's the difference? Why did you go into nursing rather than physician's assistant? You must have had other associates who did the physician's assistants route, I'm thinking.
I did. And actually, I worked with a lot of great physician's assistants who really kind of pushed me to do that. For a long time here in Alaska, I've lived in Alaska most of my adult life, and a PA program wasn't available for the most part.
Yeah, okay.
And so I've been licensed as a family practice nurse practitioner for about 6 months. But by the time I was able to move forward with that education, I was pretty well indoctrinated as a nurse. I'd been a nurse for 20 years or something.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I had one other point to bring up, and again, I'm getting on my bandwagon about healthcare. But I mentioned in the opening that there is a lot of concern about cost, access, and quality of care in the United States, and that somewhat surprises a lot of people and leads to a lot of political angst. I just like your opinions as people in the healthcare system about that, and then I'll get off that issue. Barbara, is it true from your perspective in our country relative to other developed countries, is cost, access, and quality an issue?
Very definitely. I think all three are an issue. And we've seen costs decreasing over time. Having been to a conference a couple of years ago where a national economist talked to us, his take on it was that healthcare is eventually going to be taken over by large industry, where the costs can be sort of divided up and people can make use of resources in better ways and not have so much duplication. And he made several comments about the things that were already happening, especially in large businesses that that are contracting with large agencies. And so certainly that is going to have an impact on us, especially people in small clinics. And I do still do some clinical one day a week. Access is a huge issue. We see that in Alaska all the time in the rural areas. And I believe that our advanced practice nurses and our physician's assistants are really making a strong positive impact in those areas because there are a lot of us who work out in those areas, sometimes as a second job. Quality is incredibly important. The question is how you measure it. And how you decide that quality truly is quality. Because one of the things that I think is really important about looking at healthcare now is how important it is for us to team with our patients. And that our patients have a significant responsibility in their own health. And so how does that equate to quality when the person has different ideas about what that quality should be? So I think there are more questions than answers, but I think we need to look at some of the countries where some of these things are occurring in a very beneficial way. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right about all of these areas, and we're grappling with every one of them, and there probably are more than is more than one answer to each of these issues. But we all need to work together as a team. I think there's room for all of us, and we need to share our experiences and work together to improve things.
Maureen, Mark, any other comments along that line?
Well, as coming from the inpatient setting, inpatient nurses certainly see problems with people who come in and have difficulties with their insurance, who don't have any place to go because there are no Medicare beds or people on Medicare who have trouble finding a provider. So we certainly hear about all those kinds of
access
problems with respect access, to access. Right. That's right.
Today.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Lots of energy towards trying to get people to the proper setting and right. the proper care that they need and all the right. difficulties. We have there are coordinators running around the hospital who do nothing but trying to facilitate getting those patients out of the hospital. On the quality side, I certainly agree with Barbara, the problem about how to measure, and they've done a lot of work in trying to keep costs down and shorten hospitalizations, and there's been a lot of effectiveness there. But then the problem is then we see people going home and having complications because which right. we all oftentimes feel are a consequence of the short hospitalizations. And so right. certainly, again, working in partnership with families, addressing behaviors to try to make these things happen. And so it certainly is a large problem in trying to address these issues.
Mark, are you into this policy aspect of healthcare yet?
I haven't delved too much in the policy, but I am right in the middle of treating too much illness and not doing enough preventative. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a society, the payers will pay for the illness, but right. there's not a lot of money in the prevention. And then right. even the school systems, with our kids, they're cutting back in the school system, in the lunch programs, in the physical ed end of things. And when we disregard our diet and exercise at a young age, they're just destined to come up with yes. more chronic disease later yeah. on in life. So. Yeah.
So I've heard the theme of prevention a number of times, and clearly there is reason to think we're moving that direction. Immunizations, nutrition, a lot of things and less accidents, safety issues have really decreased acute care. So now we're seeing more of the results of chronic difficulties, and we're grappling with how to do that well in this country. Other countries seem to have done a better job. Let me remind listeners again, you're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection. We're originating from Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. My guests today are Barbara Berner, Director of the UAA School of Nursing, The Associate Director, Dr. Maureen O'Malley, is with us, as well as Mark Doty, who is a family nurse practitioner who has just finished program and, as he says, been out in practice about 6 months. We're going to talk more about what is available and where nursing opportunities and where things may be going. If you've got questions or comments, let me give you some ways to get a hold of us during this next, we're down to 40 minutes or so. Local number 550-8433, 550-8433. Our toll-free number 1-888-353-5752. And you can always email us during this period of time we're on the air at line1@alaskapublic.org. Barbara, Maureen, whichever one you want to, tell me what's available at UAA currently in the fields of nursing for training.
Well, we have a full array of programs. We have an option for LPNs to come in and transition into a program that will get them an associate degree of nursing. We have an associate degree program, and the important thing about the associate degree program is that it is offered throughout the state, so that we have 13 sites throughout the state, so someone who lives in Nome or Dillingham or Fairbanks or Juneau or Kodiak or any number of sites throughout the state can enroll in our associate degree program to get to their registered nurse degree. We have an associate to RN, or what we call an RN to BS degree, that is all online, that a nurse with an associate degree can go, can take online courses and get her bachelor's degree. We have a traditional four-year bachelor's program where a nurse can get their bachelor's degree in nursing. We have a graduate program with the family nurse practitioner program that Mark just graduated from. We have a psych family nurse practitioner program, so we can have psychiatric nurse practitioners. We have a nurse educator, which will be our nursing leadership track with focus in either education or administration. We're going to put that program through this fall and get that approved. We also have a brand new Doctor of Nursing Practice program that I will let Dr. Berner tell you more about, since she really is the one who spearheaded that program. So we really do have a full array of programs to prepare nurses at different levels.
Let's hear about the Doctorate of Nursing program, and then I have a couple questions.
Sure. The Doctor of Nursing Practice is a clinical degree, and this whole concept of a clinical doctorate in nursing is a fairly new one. There has been a PhD program for nursing that's been around for a long time, and Dr. O'Malley is a graduate of one of those programs with her PhD. Back in 2003, there was a significant discussion about the nursing profession and what was needed. And it was clear that we had a small percentage of nurses who had PhDs who were working on improving theory in nursing and other areas. But there was really no advanced degree that provided that translational research, the actual theory into practice, the in vitro to in vivo kind of thing. And that was an area that we began to focus on as being a significant need that wasn't there in our profession. Nursing was one of the only health professions that did not have a clinical doctorate. So there was a concerted effort nationally to begin to develop a program that could meet the needs of the translational research piece in nursing practice. And that actually significantly moved forward with lots and lots of support. And that piece has become really, has really changed how the profession looks in terms of the educational process in the lower 48 and finally here. So I think there is a lot of interest. We have our first class starting this next week, and there are a lot of people who are wanting to get into the program, and I think it is going to make a difference in our ability to provide high-quality healthcare services and also to be able to provide the the issue, deal with the issues of healthcare policy from the nursing perspective that may not have been heard before.
Okay. Let's. I want to come back, and we'll probably talk about that in a little bit more detail, all of these different opportunities, but we do have a caller. Peter, you're on line one. What can we do for you?
Yes, I'm an old RN, and when I say old, I started in 1953. So I've seen quite a few changes. And I started in England, worked in Canada, and then been up here since 1963. So I've seen a few changes. But one of the things that strikes me in today's nursing, well, not just nursing, but the whole health care, is the lack of coordination. When I started, you basically had physicians and nurses and a few, you know, you get the odd physiotherapy or something like that. But today, everything is specialized, and of course it needs to be. But if I go to a physician because I have hypertension and type 2 diabetes and so on and so forth, he'll set up a medical record. But then I go to the person who deals with my eyes, and they don't have access to that medical record. They have what I give them, which may or may not be all that accurate. So then I go to the surgeon, and I have my hernia repaired. And again, he doesn't know anything about the eye people. I tell him I've got diabetes, I've got blah, blah, blah. Because I'm reasonably knowledgeable, I can usually give a fairly accurate description of my state of health and what's going on. But I think there are very many people, even educated people, who cannot do this. And so I see one of the roles of nursing is in helping to coordinate the very complex procedures and different disciplines that are often involved in one person's care. And I would like some response from the people on the panel to what they think of this idea. Oh, one other thing, when I was in England, we kept people in the hospital, as the other person reported, you know, up to a week or more for various surgeries, gallbladders and so on and so forth. But when they were discharged, we had a group of people called the district nurses. And if you've looked at the show The Midwife, they were sort of a variety of this, who would follow-up care in the home. If somebody had a venous ulcer that required dressing sometimes for a month, the district nurse would come around and do that. But my whole point is that we need to coordinate care, and I think nurses, because of the way that they're educated in this day and age, are some of the persons who would be most qualified to do this.
Excellent observation. Let's see what our guests have to say.
Well, Peter, I certainly agree with your point about the importance of coordination. In the hospital, we see it as a real challenge when you get people that are very sick with chronic illnesses, with multiple complicating conditions and factors, that we are really challenged as nurses to be bringing in the right people and getting the right orders and going back to the attending and who's writing the orders for this or for that. So it really complicates the hospitalization. We do, and you mentioned one of my favorite television shows called The Midwife with those district nurses. I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you that nurses really are the perfect people to get very much involved with the coordination. I think the big challenge that we have is reimbursement for that, because oftentimes that just isn't happening. I had my own sister who was admitted to the hospitalization with had actually two extra procedures done because she didn't get proper care. She had had a baby, then she'd had a kidney stone, and she had to have a lithotripsy, and they put a tube up into her ureter, and she wasn't trained properly in how to take care of the tube. She got home with her newborn and her two-year-old, and guess what? The tube fell out. So then she had to go back and have another procedure to put the tube back in, and then she had to go back and make it an internal tube and then go back again. So all these extra procedures, really, I think, because of not her care not being properly coordinated and not getting the proper care upon discharge. And at one point, I actually called back there when she was going through all this and tried to see if she could get some home care because she was clearly at high risk for all these complications, but there just wasn't anyone to pay for it. So I think that we'll need some reform to get some of that kind of coordination paid for. I think nurses are qualified to do it. It's a matter of making that happen.
And as a primary care provider myself, I see my role as being one of the healthcare home, where I can help to coordinate with the person that I'm seeing on a regular basis for any additional procedures or specialty type care, and I can refer that person and then get that person back and do some of those other things. But that is a lot dependent on the person's insurance and other kinds of things. So the bottom line still continues to be the cost, the finances of how we provide these health services. And we don't always look ahead. We just deal with the issue at the time and don't always think ahead about how we can prevent some of these things from happening and how putting some upfront costs can prevent those problems. But you can't always measure what you've prevented. And so that's an issue that is a difficult argument to say, well, we're going to save such and such an amount of money by doing this. And sometimes it takes time for that to happen. And possibly other countries who are doing this to show that it really does make a difference. But I think you're right on, Peter, with your observations.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your comments, Peter. We are over halfway through the program, so we need to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back. I want to remind listeners you're listening to Line 1, your health connection. Our local number again, 550-8433. Toll free, 1-888-353-5752, and our email address, line1@alaskapublic.org. We're going to take about a one-minute break, and we'll continue our conversation on the changing role of nurses, of nursing, I should say, in healthcare. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Line 1 on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Line 1, your health connection from Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard. Today we're discussing the changing roles of nursing and trying to address some of the problems as healthcare evolves and the health scene evolves in the United States. My guests are Dr. Barbara Berner, director of the UAA School of Nursing, and her associate director, Dr. Maureen O'Malley, is with us as well. Mark Doty is a family nurse practitioner who is also the third voice and the male voice you will hear besides myself today. With questions or comments, our local number, our email address, I should say, is line1@alaskapublic.org, and our local number, 550-8433. Please remember, if you're listening between I think it's 8 and 9 now. I have an old number down here, cheat sheet, but it's 8 and 9 on Monday evening. You're listening to a rebroadcast, and we will not be able to answer your questions at that time. However, I want to remind you, you can always go to Alaska Public Media and our website and look up Line 1 and find the archives for the programs and listen at your leisure. One thing that came up during the break, Mark, was that we have not discussed the role of men and how that has changed in nursing. And since you are the man in nursing here, can I ask you to address that?
Sure. Well, when I first got into working in medicine, I was in the military, so there's like a strong presence of male nurses as military nurses, so it wasn't something that I thought of a lot when I was in high school or as a kid, because it's just not marketed that way, I think. And I hadn't even thought about going to nursing until I was exposed to the military nurses. And a lot of the people that I worked with in the military were prior enlisted and had similar backgrounds to my own, so it was just kind of a natural process for me. Working in the profession as a nurse, I found it very enjoyable. It wouldn't be a good fit for someone with a high ego. You have to leave your ego at home, and bring your caring and nurturing and wanting to be a mentor for other people you're working with. And there's a lot of great opportunities, I think.
Let's get back into the programs that are available at UAA, which seem to me fairly comprehensive. I guess there may be some others out there, but basically it sounds like if you're in the state, you have the opportunity to explore lots of choices for nursing. What are the characteristics of the individuals going into nursing now? What kind of a nursing education or what educational background they have? And then, if you don't mind, where do the different kinds of nurses end up? You talked about associate degree nurses. You talked about baccalaureate. You talk about nurse practitioners and doctors. Where do you see them? Where are they going? So give me some feeling about that.
Well, in terms of the people that go into nursing, typically they would be someone who was a good student in school, particularly good with their sciences. At UAA, we offer a Bachelor of Science for those in the bachelor's program, and even those in the associate degree program. They're going to be taking anatomy and physiology. They would have had to have had high school chemistry. I oftentimes tell people, because the nursing programs have gotten competitive these days, really, I think those Parade magazine survey of salaries and types of things have gotten people's attention. Television shows, there's a lot of competition to get into nursing programs nowadays. Mm-hmm. So when I speak to students, I tell them that to pay attention to their sciences, in particular chemistry, because chemistry is a course that can be a barrier course for some healthcare fields. They need to take biology. They might even want to consider the AP courses to really prepare them for college chemistry. So someone who's good at sciences, they also should be a decent writer, have taken all their English courses, be a good student. To get into our programs, you're going to have a high GPA. And so we have admissions tests. And so the person coming into the program is going to be a good student. Some people who maybe have a prior degree or are coming a little later in life, the associate degree can be appealing because they feel like they can get through it more quickly. And so that's really the picture of the people who are interested in nursing. Somebody who's interested in a career, likes the healthcare field, and likes the sciences. And I forget the second part
of
the
question.
And
both the associate degree and the BS baccalaureate degrees could be nurses on a floor. They may do have similar opportunities available through them, or is there some limitation depending on?
I may ask Dr. Brenner to talk about the this IOM report, because we are definitely seeing changes of late in those that graduate from the associate degree program compared to the bachelor's, because the hospitals, the hospitals in town are starting to say that they only want bachelor's prepared nurses. So there'll be some limitations there, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Brenner.
Right. Yeah, it's been an interesting issue that's been going on in our profession for a long time, because both associate and bachelor's degree nurses can be considered registered nurses once they pass the national board exams.
From a licensing standpoint?
From a licensing standpoint.
Yep.
They are considered equal. The educational process for the associate degree nurse and the bachelor's degree nurse includes bedside nursing, the one-on-one relationship. All of those pieces are there for both. The differences are that the associate degree nurse is really mainly working with the patient. The bachelor's prepared nurse has additional educational background. They have 120 credits for their bachelor's degree. The associate degree has about 70 credits. So there's a difference in the amount of additional coursework that people take in the humanities and other kinds of things like that. The bachelor's prepared nurse is also educated to provide leadership and management and public health prevention type things with the community, with a larger population. So those are the major differences between the associate and the bachelor's person.
Trying to bring that together back from our caller, and I forgot his name, and we were talking about how we coordinate all of this stuff. And we used to have public health nurses who did a little of that, and now we have this home health care organizations that are trying to do it. It's different. Their mission is different. And when you were describing that, it seemed to me that, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the associate nurse may fit better into that home health care role than the baccalaureate who is – at least is the way things are evolving at this time.
To some extent, that's true. The bachelor's prepared nurse is more educated in community and population health. So there are, it's sort of like, you know, the 50,000 feet versus being on the ground that the bachelor's prepared nurse is educated to do. And the associate degree nurses are excellent at what they do. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. What we found, though, in the research, and this has been documented many, many times, is that the higher level of education of the nurse, the better the outcome for the patient. Mm-hmm. And so that brings us to the Institute of Medicine report that came out in 2010 that was called The Future of Nursing, Leading the Change and Advancing Health. And basically, that was a really, really important discussion that I think will help to highlight the profession of nursing and what nursing can do to contribute to improvement of healthcare in the future. And what the IOM report documented, and this was all on very good foundational research, was that nurses, there were four basic tenets, that nurses should practice to the limits of their educational ability, nurses should increase their level of education, and they are actually recommending that by 2020, 80% of our nursing workforce should have a bachelor's degree, and about 10% of our professional nursing workforce should have an advanced degree. And the third tenet was that nurses should be sitting at the table as equal partners making healthcare decisions, both state and nationally. And if you look around, many of the organizations that are making healthcare decisions don't have nurses on them. We need to have that voice because I think we have a lot that we can offer. And the fourth tenet was that we as a profession really need to do a lot more research on the things that we've been doing for a long time and document that these things are really making a difference. So the IOM report is probably the most read, my last understanding was it was the most read Institute of Medicine report ever, probably the most controversial too, but it has really moved things along in our profession, and there is a lot of grant funding now that's available in most states to help move some of these recommendations along, and I think will help to highlight what our profession can do to help with the changes that are happening in healthcare.
Let me remind listeners one more time. We're approaching about 15 minutes or less left in the program. This is Line 1, Your Health Connection, and our guests today are helping me understand the changes and opportunities and perhaps a little bit about the future of nursing. And it's evolved quite drastically and differently from the origins of that profession. If you've got questions or comments about what you hear or what you've heard or where you think things should be going, give us a call. Our local number, 550-8433. Our email email address, line1@alaskapublic.org. We do have a toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752. Let's talk a little bit more about one of the advanced degrees. I think there's a perhaps, in my opinion, despite the fact that I've worked with a nurse practitioner every day, I've been in practice in Alaska since 1980, and I trained with them at the University of Tennessee in the 70s. So I've grown up with nurse practitioners. A lot of people still don't quite understand their licensing, their roles, and so forth. And I want to make sure people understand nurse practitioners, which is one of those advanced degrees you're talking about.
So I think, Mark, you can add to this since you are living it, nurse practitioners are primarily nurses. Our foundation is nursing and the philosophy of nursing, which is holistic health, patient advocacy, caring, those kinds of things. In addition to that, we are educated beyond the nursing bachelor's degree to advanced degrees. The vast majority now have graduate degrees, master's degrees, and we're moving very quickly into doctoral preparation. In Alaska, we have had a Nurse Practice Act since 1982 that allows nurse practitioners there's a separate authorization. We're licensed as nurses, we're authorized as nurse practitioners to practice independently acts of medical diagnosis and treatment. So we can provide primary care to patients, we can diagnose, we can treat, we can prescribe medications, including controlled drugs, we can prescribe various treatments. Including physical therapy, other types of things. And we can follow our patients very effectively. And there has been quite a bit of research that has shown us to be able to provide about 80 to 90% of the services that a primary care physician could provide. And we have done it, and there have been many studies, not just nursing studies, that have shown that our outcomes for our patients, particularly with chronic disease, are equivalent. So I think we offer a really strong option for people out in the community. I would also add that there are probably a little over 500 nurse practitioners who are practicing in Alaska, and we provide over 800,000 primary care visits in the state per year. We do a lot of rural kinds of things. There are advanced practice nurses also include certified nurse midwives, clinical nurse specialists, and certified nurse anesthetist, so that there are actually four groups who provide advanced care services in the state, all independently.
Mark, tell us more about yourself. Why you decided nurse practitioner again, and where you're working right now?
I've always had thoughts of going further, either as a PA, like we mentioned earlier, or as a nurse practitioner. And I talked about it. Life kind of got in the way. I was raising a daughter and all those kind of responsibilities. I didn't have the opportunity really to focus on education until my daughter was grown. And so then I actually ran into a physician on an airplane that was going to Honduras on a medical mission, and he invited me, after a 1 or 2 hour flight, he invited me to go down to Honduras with him. So I did that. That was in 2007, and it just kind of lit my fuse, and mm-hmm. I came back from Honduras very focused, and my wife was very supportive in me going. I couldn't have done it without her, and decided to apply for the program and got accepted.
How many years is the training? You had a baccalaureate degree?
I had a baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-year program. It took mm-hmm. me longer than that. Mm-hmm. It took me longer than that in each of the programs that I went through,
right.
Actually.
Right.
I started in, I think I was accepted in 2009, and I worked full-time going through the program, and I just graduated in December.
Are you working locally?
I am. I'm working at the Alaska Military Youth Academy. I'm the supervisor of their medical and counseling section, and I'm also working at two clinics locally.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I have to say this because I have a huge feeling in my mind about the need for mental health and behavioral health. And also in our clinic, we define those differently, behavioral health and mental health, which we don't necessarily have to get into. But you had a mental health background, and there is a mental health nurse psychiatry or nurse practitioner degree that you can get at UAA. Why did you not go the psychiatric nurse practitioner route?
I'd done a lot of psych, almost 20 years of psych nursing. Okay. I've always been interested in the medical aspects of things and was kind of truthfully tired. Yep. And I didn't realize that the opportunities were so vast for the psychiatric nurse practitioners. Actually, I thought there would be more demand for family practice nurse practitioners, because from what I've seen in the marketplace, they're more desperate for the psychiatric nurse practitioners. Okay. So that is a really good track to consider. And had I known then what I know now, I may have focused on that.
Well, we also have programs where people can get a certificate in if they're a family nurse practitioner or a psych, they can come and do an abbreviated program and get a certificate, so they could have both.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening in the advanced degree in nursing is they're beginning to fill in the places that physicians are not being manning for one reason or the other.
But we're also doing our own practices
in
cities and other places. Certainly we have a strong hold in the rural communities, and I think that's really very important. But even in urban areas, for many of us, our focus is underserved, people who have limited access in the cities, and that's certainly the case given all of our issues with Medicaid expansion or lack of, and insurance issues and people without insurance.
And one thing, I guess, for listeners who might be contemplating the nurse practitioner PA difference role, at least in this state, and I'm not sure about other states, I know many states allow nurse practitioners to practice independently. That means they don't have to have any association, and that's true in Alaska. PAs in Alaska, that's not true. And I don't know about the other states as well, because I haven't dealt with PAs as much.
I think that for the most part in most states, physician's assistants are under the Board of Medicine. Mm-hmm. And so they have a supervisory requirement. But I would also add that there are a lot of really wonderful physician's assistants out there, and there's a need for all of us. It doesn't need to be a competition. This is really important for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned specialized nurse clinicians, and I'm thinking of, again, listeners who may want to know where they can go with these various degrees. And there's neonatal nurse clinicians who are doing just intensive neonatal care, and they're better at it than I am because they're doing it every day. I've worked with nurse practitioners and maybe baccalaureate nurses who are nurse epidemiologists working with the public health. Mm-hmm. There are public health nurses out throughout the state that are very important and probably, you know, my own personal feeling, need to be considered more in Anchorage than
I agree.
It used to be a very important role. That budgetary restraints, I think, is the right answer for why we don't see as much of them. Cancer, research, you know, there's huge opportunities, it seems to me, for nurses. And I just wanted to see if you'd shake your head in agreement with that, but I think it's sometimes what people don't understand.
Well, I think one of the exciting things that we're going to see in the DNP program, the Doctor of Nursing Practice program, is that all of those students must do a project, and the project needs to improve practice. And I was able to sit in with the students who are coming into this program this next month, and hear what their plans are for their programs or their projects, and they're just wonderful, and they really truly are going to make a difference in our providing health quality health services.
Okay, we have another caller. Kelly, you're on line one.
Yeah, so if somebody has a four-year degree in something else, for example, business, What is the track timing and tracking for someone to be able to get a four-year degree or be able to start in the health field?
Well, it would depend, Kelly, on what kinds of prerequisites you have. If you already have a four-year degree, then I dare say you have many of your prerequisites that you've already taken in terms of your English and sociology and all those prereqs. If you have anything where you have those sciences, you could conceivably move towards the bachelor's degree. In all honesty, I don't know how old you are. Sometimes people are drawn with other degrees are drawn to the associate degree program because they feel like they can get into it more quickly. So I think we'd have to look at your transcripts, and we have advisors that could do that for you to give you a sense of how much time it would take and what your goals are in terms of which degree would best meet your needs. I don't know if how well that answers your question.
Well, I just wondered what kind of timeline it would look like.
Well, the timeline, conceivably, you could go directly, if you're a good student and if you're going to do well on the admissions test, you could conceivably go right into the associate degree program. I dare say for the bachelor's program, you would probably need to take some of the prereqs, and that so you might, you know, take at least a couple semester or two, maybe getting some of those prereqs out of the way, and then you could go to the bachelor's program. We have a few people on the list ahead of you right now with delayed admissions, but we're working through that. So at any rate, at this point in time, I think you'd probably get in more quickly to the associate degree program. And then we do have, if you're interested in the bachelor's, we do have RN to bachelor's degree online to follow on to that. So that might be quickest.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We are in our last couple of minutes, and I think this is a time where I'd like to just ask each of you to maybe make some final comments, final thoughts. And, you know, most of us don't remember a lot of what we hear, and so the important messages we want to get out. And, Mark, I'm going to start with you this time.
Well, I think as a whole we need to practice more proactively trying to figure out ways to reimburse for keeping people healthy rather than treating the illnesses as they come up. Reimbursement is the big issue, and anything we can do to move in that direction I think would be a good thing overall.
Okay. Maureen?
Well, nursing has been a wonderful profession for me. I have gone much further with nursing than I ever dreamed I would go. When I decided on nursing, I wanted to be a nurse ever since I was a young girl. And when I decided, I was thinking, well, it was a career that I could go back to. I could have a family. I never dreamed that I would have these advanced degrees, that I would have the professional reputation that I have come to. And so it's been a very rewarding career for me.
Okay. Barbara, you get to finish.
Okay. Nursing, as Dr. O'Malley said, is an incredibly rewarding profession, and it's even more rewarding as we really begin to delve down and look at what nursing has to offer for the future of healthcare. And I think it's incredibly exciting, and I would encourage people who are interested to come and talk with us about becoming a nurse and looking at all the options that you have.
Listen, thanks very much. Quick hour as usual when I have a good program. I appreciate your time. My thanks to today's guests, Barbara Berner, Maureen O'Malley, and Mark Doty, who have taken the time to talk about nursing with us. If you want to continue this discussion, you can join KSK on Facebook. Our website is www.alaskapublic.org, where you can find the link to the Line 1 archives as well. Next week, there will be no program. President Obama's visiting. It's not clear how much time he is going to be at the global conference that he'll be discussing, so it's going to usurp our time. And then the following Monday is Labor Day. So I will return on the 14th, I believe it is, and we'll talk about pain management with an international expert on pain management, Dr. Andrea Trescott. Pat Yak is Chief Content Officer at Alaska Public Media, and Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. Monica Goki is our web editor.
Line 1 is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line 1 and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.